Truth is that which conforms to reality. Critical thinking is the process of examining evidence in order to determine truth. Critical mass is the point at which a reaction becomes self-sustaining. You're listening to the Critical Mass Podcast. I'm your host, Winston Crutchfield. Thank you very much for joining me today. I've got a great interview with author Nathan James Norman, author of the science fiction fantasy novel Untold, as well as Untold Alliances, the full cast audio drama. You can find that over at the Spirit Blade Underground. You can look for links in the show notes. Nathan is also one of the contributors to last year's benefit project, The Least of These, and you can find a free download for that in the benefit projects section at the Critical Press Media website. Well, we get into some pretty heavy themes concerning science fiction and fantasy and religion and literature and the proper treatment thereto or thereof or therein. So I won't keep you any longer than necessary. Appreciate you tuning in. Join back with me next week as I think, I don't remember what's on my schedule for next week, but I'm pretty sure Curtis and I will be sitting around the coffee table discussing something or another. So join us next week with a full cup of coffee. Meantime, enjoy the interview.
All right, well, I'm in the reaction chamber with Nathan James Norman I keep wanting to say South Beach, Carolina. Where are you, Nathan?
No, actually, Southern California.
Southern California, South Beach. Well, you know, California is one big beach anyway, so
pretty much it.
There you go. And, tell us about Untold, Nathan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Untold is a sci-fi fantasy action story that focuses on a kingdom called New Genis that started out with good ideals of trying to be a Christian kingdom and Christ-honoring kingdom, and somehow something's gone awry. The clergy are corrupt. The people are looking to their belief systems and to God more for what He can give them. And kind of the gimme, my name is Jimmy sort of mentality. And they're really in a mess. And suddenly they find themselves surrounded by physical demons or creatures that are attacking them. And their armies in shambles, and they really don't know what to do. And the story begins with a young man named Ethan who comes out of nowhere and slays a giant dragon kind of haphazardly and not really knowing what he's doing. And the story takes you through the series of his unfolding and as well as the unfolding of this kingdom and their possible path towards salvation or their possible path towards destruction, all while using castles and force fields and swords that shoot out energy beams and things like that. So it's kind of a fun ride.
Sounds like a fun ride. Sounds like you've got some really heavy themes going on there. Now, in a spirit of full disclosure, I haven't gotten to read this yet, but I just received my electronic copy today. Thank you very much. And I'll get on that, definitely. This is Untold's first appearance. You've recently done another kind of short story set in the Untold universe through Peter Franzen's Spirit Blade Underground Alliance. And I think that's where I first came in on it. And you've got just some really, really neat things going on in the short story. Now, did you... The short story, did you have a hand in that other than just writing the script?
For the most part, I just I contacted Pater, looking at Untold and where the future was to go with that. I liked the book that I wrote. I wrote it, oh gosh, maybe 10 years ago now, and self-published it. I like it. It's a good story, but I said, you know, I want to make it more robust. I'm older, wiser, have more experience in writing and telling stories. And I said, I think audio would be a good way of going about it. So I contacted Pater, and as soon as he started the Underground Alliance, and said, hey, you know, I have a story here. I think it would really translate well into audio drama. And he looked over and said, yeah, this is cool, and let's do something short, and let's do something without any of the characters from the original book, so that you know, if we can't get any of the same actors, we can just have like a one shot deal introducing you into the universe. So I figured I'd do a prequel. I wrote something with a different character who I now love and want to see come back again, and just really just kind of wrote it. Brandon Barr, who directed it, I kind of went back and forth with him a little bit, chatting with him about some of my thoughts and some of the pronunciation of the words and terms. But for the most part, I just wrote the short story. Just kind of came out of the Untold universe and kind of flowed easily onto the page because I knew what was happening, and I knew what was happening in this kingdom with the corruption behind the scenes.
That's really nice. So we can enjoy the story without knowing anything about the book, and same way around. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a standalone piece of fiction. And I have to correct myself here. It's Brandon Butler who directed the program.
Oh, whoops.
I read one of his stories recently. I think that's why that name's in there. And that alliteration always gets you. But yeah, it's a standalone story. You can listen to it once, and if you never want to buy the book, that's fine. If you want to buy the book and, you know, figure out what's some more in depth of what's going on in this world and where they're going wrong, yeah, highly recommend that. But yeah, it's a one-shot deal.
Well, I really enjoyed it. It's a full-cast audio drama without narration, so it's just a you know, just the full cast dramatization, and I quite enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to reading my copy of Untold. So, tell us a little bit about you. Where are you? What are you doing? Well, you're in Southern California. What are you doing right now? Where did you said that you're a little older and wiser now than when you first wrote Untold? Where did that story kind of come from, and where has it taken you since you finished writing it?
Well, I mean, originally when I wrote it, I was 16, and I had been suffering for about 5 years at that point from Lyme disease, more of an East Coast sort of disease where they have lots of ticks that carry the disease, but had it for a long time, and I was not sleeping and very ill, couldn't go to school. I'll save you all the gory details, but kind of out of the boredom, kind of had all these images kind of going through my mind of interesting science fiction and fantasy things. As time went on, I started writing down, and I just started to write the story, and the story turned into a book. and so I was trying to pitch that for a while, and eventually got fed up and self-published it, but once it came out, I said, you know, I think I'm done. I think I'm done with the writing world. But the world of the story just
that never
coming
happens.
And so I've got it. I was involved with ministry for about 10 years now, and I've tried to kill my writing bug, but every time I do that, I just feel depressed, like I'm missing a part of my calling. And so I try to construct worlds, stories that demonstrate truth rather than telling truth. And currently, I'm serving as a youth pastor at a church for the past 4 years, and I've also been doing ministry longer than that, too, and I'm going to seminary, and hopefully next summer I'll graduate, Lord willing. But through all that, I still, even though I preach and I tell ideas from the pulpit, I think there's something really precious about showing truth and showing people a story rather than telling them. And so I kind of have and I can also tell a truth from the pulpit.
Well, you know, it's often trotted out that Jesus taught in parables.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, he did that for a reason. I'm a huge believer myself in the power of story, and it need not be fiction. A powerful biography is every bit as effective as, you know, as a constructed story. I mean, what's most of the Old Testament, if not the biographies of those people God's used through the ages?
Yes.
You know,
like
so,
3/4 of the Bible is narrative.
Yeah, exactly. So I think just kind of glancing through Untold the way I have now, you've got some pretty heavy themes going on in the story, and some pretty explicit statements where you just really get into religion and spirituality and what it means, you know, to be a Christian and to approach things from a Christian perspective. You don't really shy away from that at all. And I find it very interesting that that comes from a place where you were before you went into the ministry. I find that very interesting, very telling. Maybe, I don't know.
yeah, I think when I originally wrote Untold, when I sat down to actually write the book, I thought, you know, I'd read, you know, C.S. Lewis, and I'd read a number of Christian stories, and usually what you do is you have a stand-in in any sort of fantasy or science fiction story for God and for Christ.
Sure.
And you know, it's basically a loosely veiled metaphor, and or not even a metaphor, just a stand-in. You know, instead of Jesus, you got Aslan.
Sure.
Instead of God, you have the Emperor, or various other stories. And I was racking my brain, and it might have been part laziness, it might have just been part, oh, forget it, I'm just going to do something unconventional here. But I said, no, we're going to tell this story in the world that we live in with the same Christ that we serve, with the same God that we serve, and the same God who created the universe. And then that saved me from having to backfill the story of who this person was and what this God did. It continues to do, but I think it kind of created a sort of unique fantasy telling. And man, I was gung ho at the time, just throwing in theology and belief systems and correct Christian thought, which I've been surprised going through it after going through most of my seminary degrees, not shrinking back in horror from the thoughts that were put in there and saying, "Hey, that was doctrinally sound."
Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit will preserve its own. If we can rely on nothing else, we can rely on that. So,
amen. And I think you mentioned themes, and I really think, especially through my experience with Lyme disease, that really, through that suffering, helped me understand who God was and who I was in Him and who I was apart from Him. And I suppose through Untold and definitely an Untold Untold Alliances, the idea of the theology of the cross, which is the theologian's way of talking about God revealing Himself through pain and suffering,
sure.
Really makes it through in Untold and Untold Alliances, especially because there's quite a violent scene about 3/4 of the way through. I think that's not a popular thought in today's society. We want to think of God as, you know, almost our genie companion, where we say, well, God, just, you know, pay off all my bills and, you know, make my job go well and make my life easy. And that's not what we see in scriptures. I mean, one of my favorite scriptures is John 16:33, where Jesus says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." That's a promise. You're going to have trouble in this world. But we see God revealing Himself through that trouble, through that pain. And the best example of that is Christ on the cross. Jesus suffering on the cross right there, you see simultaneously God's absolute love for humanity, where He's willing to torture His own Son, kill His own Son, be separated from His own Son, so that He can be united to us forever. But then you also simultaneously see God's hatred for sin and his justice. got from that, well, how much more can I understand my own life, and how much more can I understand God when I'm in the midst of suffering as he works through me and works in me? And I guess that was kind of one of the major overarching themes in Untold Alliances, is that, yeah, God's not going to make your life perfect in this life, or on this side of eternity, rather. But he is going to reveal himself, and he is going to work through that pain and suffering.
Well, that's an important part of Christian theology, certainly. I mean, it's been said before that a God who is unacquainted with suffering cannot relate to a people who experience nothing but. And, you know, Jesus was described as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief.
Yeah.
So, but... So your theology is explicit and sound and well thought out, and that's good. I wanna take a left turn. Tell me about some of the technology that you've got going on in Untold, because it's not all fantasy wizards and dragons and people waving their hands and concocting strange brews. You have a weapon, an energy sword that also fires bolts of energy that has just a really intriguing sound effect in Untold Alliances. And I kind of want to know more about this and where it came from and what's going on here.
Yeah, Brandon did a great job putting that sound effect together and working that through. It's beyond my wildest dreams, but the Guardians, as I call them, are basically swords. You know, any sort of sword that you envision in a sword and sorcery film, but instead of being magical, they're technological. Their blades can be charged with this emerald sort of energy that sizzles and crackles and makes a harmonious sound and can light dark passages. And, there's like a resonating quartz frequency that works in conjunction with an energy source where they're able to, if you're in close combat, you can have not just a blade, but a blade that has energy behind it. You know, that makes cutting and skewering a lot easier. Instead of taking an axe to a tree, it's more like taking a knife to hot butter, you know, and just slicing right through it. But then you have the added bonus of, well, if you have a more of a long-distance target, you can throw this energy beam and shoot out this energy beam onto your targets and not have to get into a close proximity with them. So that's kind of safety for them. And that's kind of their main form of attack. And, you know, I'm not really sure where that came from. It's just this idea. I've always had this thing for swords. Swords have been cool, but this story rapidly turned into a science fiction thing, and so you can't just have, you know, all this technology and guys running around with swords. I figured, well, they don't have guns, but this seems like a pretty cool thing to have instead of guns that can go up to a half mile long or further.
Well, not, you know what? If you're going to give them a sword, give them a cool sword. That's all there is to that. Okay, well, the description kind of reminded me of a science fiction staple, laser blades. Not really the lightsabers that Lucas popularized, but...
Right.
Laser blades were really popular in the 40s and 50s, where, you know, there was an actual physical component, and the cutting edge of the blade was a laser beam that emitted from the hilt or from the edge and fed back into the one or the other, and it kind of reminded me of that plus. And I just thought that was really cool. Or maybe it was Brandon's sound effect. I don't know. But something about that technology really kind of seized on me there. I don't know. So you said the swords themselves are technological, not magical. Do you have magic going on in the Untold universe?
Aside
from
not
just
really.
Like supernatural creatures.
Yeah, there's, I wouldn't say magical, I'd say supernatural.
Okay.
There is definitely a supernatural component to it where, you have, a demon in Untold Alliances, who's physically manifested himself in Untold, proper, the novel. You have demons who manifest themselves, you have demons sure. to sin and make poor choices. So you have demons who do that. You have angels who are working on the side of good in the background. There are a few people who I categorize as sorcerers in there, and but really, at the end of the day, from my own personal worldview and from the worldview of Untold, these magicians or sorcerers who are delving into magic are just coinciding, working with the demons in any sort of miracles or abilities that they're able to produce. Don't come from magic or ley lines or anything like that. It comes from the supernatural demonic forces that inhabit the world of Untold.
Okay. Was that a specific conscious choice when writing the book that you don't want to, with all of these other fantasy elements in place, is that one that you wanted to leave out specifically, or that you wanted to treat in this specific way, or that just kind of come about as, you know, this is how things ought to be in this world because, well, this is how I think they would be.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit of both. I think it kind of played out in, well, this is the way it should be. But additionally, I can remember quite some time ago, almost 20 years ago, watching a news report on Halloween when all the local news stations do stories on, you know, Wiccan and things along those lines. And I remember one of the women being interviewed in this story and said, you know, a lot of people say Wiccan is devil worship, but we don't worship the devil. You know, we don't even believe in the devil. We just, we draw on other powers. You know, depending on your flavor of Wiccan, that can go in any direction. But I remember hearing that as a young person and thinking, well, yeah, you don't serve the devil. You're not worshiping him. But from a Christian worldview, where do these powers come from? And from a Christian worldview, supernatural forces only come from one of two places. It's either from God or from the enemy. And so I think in that thought, I wanted to make a conscious deal, like, okay, I'm already using the proper name of Jesus Christ in this story. I'm using the proper name of God. This is an alternate world history thing here.
Sure.
So I don't want to start introducing magic as a benevolent force, because I've already got benevolent and violent forces already built into the worldview of this story. And that's not to say if they're like C.S. Lewis would use magic in various stories, especially the Chronicles of Narnia. I don't take issue with that. But in this, the way this worldview is kind of working out, it was I guess both conscious and subconscious that I want to keep magic as a supernatural force that was empowered not by God.
Well, to be fair, Lewis never used the proper name of God in the Chronicles of Narnia.
So it turns into a metaphor rather than the actual thing itself.
Exactly. And to be fair, in Lewis' other fictions, where he does, especially his famous space trilogy, where he does have his characters promoting Christian, specifically Christian theology, his supernatural forces, and the magicians who use them are not portrayed in a benevolent light. So, you know, you're kind of in good company there. But from the perspective I'm used to dealing with this kind of thing on, these magical forces are less supernatural than they really are super science. And that's the kind of thing that your average pen and paper RPG gamer deals with on a regular basis, and that's really the way they're accustomed to thinking of magical forces. And so I was kind of surprised when especially with super science like the Guardians, you know, that you didn't have other more mechanical, more super science type magic in there. But that's cool. It's good, and I'm looking really forward to reading it. Definitely.
Super science. I've never heard that. That may made a lot of things click in there for me, so I appreciate you just saying that term.
Well, you've heard of Clark's Law. Everybody, you know, Arthur C. Clarke coined the phrase that sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And, you know, you see that in any number of sci-fi, fantasy, space opera books that you can pluck off the shelf. Or if you, if you pick any fantasy, typical fantasy RPG off the shelf, or, even Star Wars is a little different. And of course, now that I look at something, nothing comes to mind. Lensman is a good example of this, where these people who have magical, supernatural, spiritual powers aren't channeling supernatural and spiritual forces. They're channeling ordinary forces in ways that other people simply don't understand. I mean, and that works its way down even to the D&D wizard who works his magic by taking a pinch of dust and another charged component and intoning the right words at the right vibrational tone, and bang, you have a magical effect. I mean, when you break it right down to it, that kind of specific ritual to produce a specific effect in a repeatable phenomenon, that's not magic, that's science.
Yeah, that sounds that way, yeah.
But I didn't mean to get off on a soapbox there.
No, that's a good perspective for me.
But I've kept you here for a little while. Is there anything else you got going on right now that you may want to tell people about? I know you've got a website. There's the obvious question. Where can we get your book?
You can get the book. It's still available on Amazon. You can go to www.nathanjamesnorman.com and click on the Untold icon. It's got all the information where you can buy it, how you can buy it, all that fun stuff. Untold Alliances is still out. You go to spiritblade.net/alliance. You can go download that for free. That's always a plus. And the hope with that is if we can get enough downloads on that, we might be able to get another Untold audio drama project out of that. So
hey,
definitely trying to get people
again.
To download that.
Yeah, you'll get to use your you get to use that character again.
Absolutely. I really appreciate Glenn Bartram, who played Commander Garrett in there. Oh, what a great cast member to have play the protagonist there.
Well, all right, and I'll put a whole host of links in the show notes for people to find. But in the meantime, Nathan, thank you so much for taking some time out for me. I know you're right in the middle of your day here. But
thanks so much, Winston, and appreciate you having me on today.
Absolutely, we'll have to do this again sometime when your next book comes out.
Absolutely, look forward to it.
Maybe when the next episode of Untold Alliances comes out. How's that?
Sounds good. That'll probably be sooner.